changes, Frank?
After this reading of the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. If any of you who'd like a Bible, please hold up your hands and the ushers will see that you get one. Thank you, Bill. Steve. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. Very brief reading here from the Old Testament. Two readings from the Old Testament. Samuel is speaking to Saul. And it's after Saul had done a foolish thing. "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people." Now turn with me, please, to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. One of those minor prophets, so-called. It may be hard to find. It's right next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah, then Malachi, then comes the New Testament. This is Zechariah, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 7. Very interesting promise here. "The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David." So that the feeblest among them will be like David. And now turn back with me to the reading from the New Testament to Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts chapter 13. Beginning in just the one verse, really, verse 22. Paul is recounting what we've just read from the Old Testament. Acts 13, verse 22. "After removing Saul, God made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" Now let's sing together using Psalm 78a. Psalm 78a, stanzas 1 through 3. This is that troubadour song. Let's rise to sing the three stanzas of 78a. "O ye my people, to my law attentively give ear. The words that from my mouth proceed, incline yourselves to hear." Sort of sounds like a troubadour tune.
"O ye my people, to my law attentively give ear. The words that from my mouth proceed, incline yourselves to hear. My mouth shall speak of his word he has
The particular words that I'd like you to focus on were those words out of Acts 13:22. I have found David, God saying it, I have found David, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. That's quite a testimony. Question. Would you like to hear God saying that about you? I have found, write your own name into that, to be a man, a woman, after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. You really want that? Would you like to hear that? Well, God's provided a way whereby that can be true of every person here in this room. God made David to be that way. God built him to be a man after his own heart. He caused David to want to do everything that he wanted him to do, and that's why he was a man after God's own heart. There are many services that David rendered to God simply because he was a man after God's own heart and doing everything God wanted him to do. Many things that we might say were David's greatest service. I've titled this today, David's Greatest Service. David was a king. He brought the whole kingdom of Jews together and held them together in a way nobody ever did. Even his own son Solomon did a pretty good job. But Solomon's son, of course, couldn't hold them together. It was David, really, who brought them together. Joshua did a pretty good job, but it was David who really brought them together and held them together better than any other king. That was a tremendous service. And he was a military general. As far as I know, he won every battle. That is, every war that he ever was in. He conquered all his enemies. He cleaned out the promised land. All of them. And he organized the nation politically. He was a good organizer. And socially he organized them. And morally he organized them. In spite of his own failure, he still had those people well organized. And ecclesiastically, he had that temple service all organized before even the temple was built. And in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, you find that there were a tremendous number of things that King David had done, filled with the exploits and the accomplishments of David. God summarized all that when he said, David was a man after my own heart. He did everything I asked him to do, everything I wanted him to do. But there was one thing that David did that was more important than anything else. More long-lasting, more influential, more pleasing to God, more blessing to other people, and more blessing to people today than anything else he has ever done. And that was his writing of the Psalms. His writing. He didn't write them all, but he wrote a majority. I don't think David even realized that this was his greatest contribution at the time that he was doing it, how important these things were going to be. If you'd asked David what his most important contribution was towards the end of his life, I think he would have pointed out the victory over the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and how the nation of Israel was unified and how the government was organized. I think he would have pointed to those things. I think he probably saw his writing of those Psalms as just being a thing he did in his off time. Well, it was more something than just an avocation in his off time. It was very important to him. But I think he probably saw that as subjectively just a pretty important personal thing. When he was desperately discouraged, he'd sit down and work out a psalm. And he was desperately happy and victorious, he'd sit down and work out a psalm. And when he was desperately confused, he'd sit down and write out a psalm. But I think he wouldn't have pointed to those things as being most important in his own life. I think he saw them as being something that just had to be done. But the fact is that all these other things that David did don't really amount to too much today. However, the Psalms that he wrote continue to be very, very, very important to more and more people. And children, those of you who are drawing pictures to illustrate what this whole thing's about today, the outline is going to go something like this. First, how David's Psalms were such a blessing, such a service to the Jews and to Jesus. how David's writings of the Psalms he wrote, was such a tremendous blessing to Jesus. And second, how they were such a blessing to the early Christians, including the Apostle Paul. Such a tremendous blessing to him. And third, how they've been such a tremendous blessing to men like Martin Luther, who probably came to know Christ through not only his study of Galatians, but through his commentary on the Psalms, which is what he was writing at the time he had that experience with God that he pointed to later as being his conversion. And fourth, how they are still such a blessing to us today, to the feeblest, especially to the feeblest ones today. They still make people today the way they made David to be, quote, a man after God's own heart, end quote. First then, how these psalms were such a blessing to the Jews and to Jesus. You know, the Jews sang these things that David had written. Every time they went up to the temple, they sang these. That traveler's psalm, to the hills will lift mine eyes, and whence shall come my help? My help cometh from the Lord, not the hills, but the Lord that made the hills. And he'll not only take care of me physically while I'm on the road, he'll take care of those behind me, and he'll take care of not only physically, but the spirituality. He'll take care of our spiritual lives. He'll care for our souls. The Jews sang these over and over and over again when they went up to worship and when they were at home and whatever was going on. The Jews sang the psalms that David had written. Tremendous service that David rendered. Their focus in worship upon God was gathered together and held together, although they lived all over that end of Palestine. Their focus was maintained and unified by the fact that they were singing these same chapters. Margie and I get a blessing out of singing the Psalms every morning at the kitchen table. And we just have enjoyed it down through the years, from the time of our first marriage until today. Now, to begin with, I couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. And Margie was the one who held me to the tune. And she's worked with me for some time, and I'm getting pretty well trained, and I'm sure thanking the Lord for the influence that God has sent into my life through Margie on that score. But now, every once in a while, Margie has a cold and she can't sing very well. And so then I have to go ahead. And I can do it now because of the way God has used her to help me to be able to do this. And we enjoy that singing together. We've enjoyed that all through the years. And some of you have sat at our breakfast tables and sung those things with us there. And we've just enjoyed those. But you know, we trace that blessing back up through David to Jesus Christ, who put it into David's heart to write the words that are there in those 150 chapters. He is the true source of everything in the Bible, the only mediator between God and man. It's he who put it in David's heart. Even before he came to earth, he was working in David's heart to cause David to write what David did write. But now the amazing thing is to see how these psalms, having come from Christ even before he was incarnate on earth, and being written by David, the amazing thing is to see how they become such an amazing blessing in the heart of Jesus when he's growing up there in Nazareth. Growing in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Remember how it says he grew? And I don't know whether you ever did this or not, but I got very excited this week as I thought through on how these psalms would have come alive to Jesus as he was singing them there, learning to sing them. The 22nd psalm. The 22nd psalm. You know how it goes? You took me safely from the womb, gave faith when on my mother's breast. From birth dependent on your care, you are my God, in you I rest. Be not far off, for grief is nigh. There is none on whom I can rely. Now what a blessing that was to Jesus the day he hung nailed out there on the cross. And we know that's the chapter that he was thinking about because you know how that chapter begins. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that goes on in that chapter to these words that I've just read to you here. about how when he hung at his mother's breast, it was God who put him there. And then how important that would have been later on when he had to say, as he was gasping out his last physical breath, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." I'm sure as he learned these, there was a certain awe as he said, "You know, that's going to happen to me. You took me safely from the womb, gave faith when on my mother's breast, from birth dependent on your care. You are my God, in you I rest. Be not far off, for grief is nigh, 30 years away. There's none on whom I can rely. None except the Father," he goes on to say in that psalm. But did you ever read those psalms, thinking about them the way Jesus would have thought about them as a boy when he was growing up? Can't you see how he's discovering himself and how happy he would be and how awed he would be as he discovers himself in those writings, and how he trembles and how he submits his will to the prophecies that David was making all through that book? And there's no book that Jesus quotes from more than from the book of Psalms. I think it was his mother who taught him to sing that 23rd Psalm when he was just a little tyke, probably. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me beside the waters. And then he leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death." And I wonder what that's going to mean to me. And then he found what it meant to him. Into that tomb with the stone rolled over it. And then out of that tomb, through the valley of the shadow of death. But I think Jesus began to find himself in many, many of those chapters, chapter after chapter, the book of Psalms. In fact, I'm going to ask that we would sing one of these in order that you could see it. Turn to 40C, please. Frank, I don't know how there. I think I know this one. And 40C, can you think of 40C as he would have recognized this, as he would have first recognized this? 40C, and think it in terms of how he would have seen these words as he was learning to recognize himself in here. "O Lord my God, how many are the what he would have thought within the volume of this book, it written is of me. As Jesus began to recognize himself in the words of this book. And then he goes on down there in that next stanza, "To do thy will can't help but think that may have been a little preview of why it was that he was there in the temple after they had left him. And he said to his parents, he was there talking with the scribes and Pharisees, the leader, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And wondering when it was that God would use him there. What a service to Jesus to find his whole life spelled out in detail, step by step, there in the Psalms. The life of Christ in the Psalms. And what a comfort to him to find the writings of a man after God's own heart. While he was still here on earth, the writings of a man after God's own heart, saying things like this, at the very instant when the scribes were and Pharisees were mocking him. Think about that 119C for a minute. "The princes high against me speak, their counsel to fulfill. But I, thy servant, meditate upon thy statutes still. Thy testimonies also are my comfort and delight. They are as men who counsel me and lead my steps aright." That's what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was discouraged when he went up on that Mount of Transfiguration, but God's, the Father's counsel came to him and led his steps aright. And it was all spelled out there ahead of time. He was expecting to be comforted and counseled and directed when he went up there on that mountain. You go right on through the life of Christ to the very end, a psalm for every event. And then that 22nd Psalm, another part of that 22nd Psalm, where he had those words so much in his heart that even when he was gasping out his last breaths, they came out in the form of words that were already written by a man after God's own heart. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you can see all the sayings of the cross. Do this sometime. Take all the sayings of the cross there at the end of the Gospels and compare them to Psalm 22, and you'll find where they came from. Even after the crucifixion. Remember the two who were on the way to Emmaus? Those two defeated men. They were discouraged, and they were defeated. And Jesus joined them, and he encouraged them. Remember how he encouraged them? By explaining to them his life out of the Psalms. That's what it says there. Boy, would I like to have been there, to have listened in on those psalm explanations. As Jesus showed them where these chapters of the Bible were explaining everything and how he ought to have done the suffering that he did do and be crucified. Their singing filled the temple worship with spirit and truth in the days of Solomon, David's son. What a service that was. They brought refugees back out of captivity, back to the new Jerusalem. And then in the new Jerusalem, these same Psalms of David were the focus of their worship. They focused the worship of the Jews upon God. They were sung at the very first communion service. It's the only time that it referred to there of Jesus singing. It says he hymned it. The word that's used for hymn is the word that's used for the Psalms. He hymned it. Everyone agrees that this was, I don't know of anyone who says there was anything else for that particular singing at that Passover service than these particular psalms, the great hallow at the first communion service. And in the home of the Philippian jailer, Paul and the others at midnight were singing there psalms, and the other prisons. And by all the early Christians, by the refugees all over the world, in churches and in hospitals and in prisons and in family gatherings, what a service David rendered when he wrote these psalms. What a tremendous blessing he's left us in the book of Psalms. Therefore, I'm saying the Psalms were David's greatest contribution. At the heart of all the Psalms is David's particular communion with God and his hunger for God, his knowledge of God and his love of God and his whole relationship with God. A man after my own heart. Well, I think that heart you can begin to see beating next to God's. You learn to love a person and they're part of your heart. Margie's part of my heart. I'm part of her heart now after 40-some years, and our hearts just sort of beat together that way. David's heart beat this way with God. He just loved God. God loved him. The two of them talked together and thought together. And then David wrote a little bit of that down. But the hunger and the appetite, the love that that man had for God is just tremendous. Remember the 45th Psalm is one that I've loved over and over again. We've practically worn it out. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme I sing. My tongue's a ready writer's pen to speak about the King. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul sending that psalm to the Colossians? Remember how the book of Colossians begins? He's just glorifying Jesus. Those first chapters of the book of Colossians, he's just glorifying Jesus. And I'm sure that this is why Paul commended the Psalms to them. He says, you've just got to sing these things. Because it just sounds so much like Paul and his love for Jesus, and the sovereignty of God is involved in that. And the 32nd Psalm to the Romans. Remember how Paul's letter to the Romans begins. Oh, blessed is the man to whom hath freely pardoned been all the transgressions he has done, and covered is his sin. That's the message that Paul's writing to the Romans. I could see the Apostle Paul writing like that. But the amazing thing is, Paul had seen Jesus. I don't mean maybe physically, but he had seen the cross. He had understood that. He was after the cross. He had understood those things after the cross. I could see Paul writing things like this. But the amazing thing is that David writes these things before the cross. Only that communion with God, where his heart beat together there, where he was so much one with God. I love the Lord because he heard my supplicating plea, 116a. While I live, will call on him who bowed his ear to me. That's David. I love the Lord. He really spells that out. In Psalm 122a, I joyed when to Jehovah's house go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. I know I love God, I love God's house. And then the 42nd Psalm, as in its thirst, the panting heart, the panting deer, to water brooks doth flee, so pants my longing soul, O God, that I might come to thee. What a tremendous appetite that man had for God. He just loved God. He wanted to be with God. And somehow or other, God responded to that, and he poured himself and the facts about himself into the life of this man. He's a man, God said, after my own heart. When someone asked Luther what his favorite hymns were, Luther answered just like that. He said, Paul's four psalms. Paul's four psalms? That's what he said, Paul's four psalms. That's Luther's accounting of it. And the first of those was the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32a. Oh, blessed is the man to whom hath freely pardoned been all the transgressions he has done, and covered is his sin. That's the Apostle Paul. That's what Luther was so in love with in the writings of Paul. And Psalm 86a was the second of those. The Lord doth show mercy, forgiving thou art, abundant thy kindness and love. And then the third one is the 130th Psalm, Psalm 130a. Lord, who shall stand if thou, my Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that men may reverence thee. And then the fourth one, the Luther designated as Paul's Psalms, is the 143rd one, 143b. Lord, let my prayer prevail. O Lord, for thy name's sake, be pleased to quicken me in righteousness to take my soul from misery. Remember, Luther was fearful. He was so afraid. He was so afraid of hell and of God. Until that point where he came to know God in the person of Jesus Christ, and that came through his study of Galatians and his writing of that commentary on the Psalms. It was things like this that he found there that enabled him to crawl out of that fear, that dread of God that had been beaten into him from beginning. And the key to that, the thing that broke that, were these Psalms. There, Luther said, that forever blasts away all merit and teaches us how to confess that true forgiveness is by grace and not works. Where'd he find that? He tells us he found that in the Psalms. Luther's salvation grew out of those Psalms. David knew this by personal experience. Paul knew it by the history of Israel, the history of David, and by his own personal experience. And then Paul wrote it in the form of doctrine. And now we have it in all three forms. We've seen it in the history of David. We've seen it in the history of Paul. We found it in the experiences of these men and of our own. And we read it in the doctrines of Paul. I want to read you now of a very recent application of this from our dear heart and friend, part of our own family, Nancy Zabrin. This is dated December 29. Walt and I are comfortably together this morning in our new home in Quincy, Illinois. As you may already know, I went to be with my parents in Florida on November the 12th. My plan was to help Mother during the weeks of my father's treatments for lung cancer. However, on November the 13th, a CAT scan revealed a brain tumor. That same evening, word of my uncle's death arrived. So I remained in Florida while Mother flew to Pennsylvania. Dad was released from the hospital on Monday, the same day Mother returned. My father became weaker and weaker, and finally on December the 5th, the radium treatments were discontinued, and he was once again hospitalized with extremely low blood pressure. I canceled my return flight to Quincy to remain with them. It became necessary for us to transfer Dad to St. Joseph's Hospital nursing care on December the 18th. By this time, we knew his time on earth would be very short. Mother and I spent each day with Dad and drove home to the trailer each evening. Finally, on December the 21st at 10 a.m., Father's breathing became easier and easier as Mother comforted him, and our Lord took him to be with himself. We flew home on Sunday, December 22nd, to make funeral arrangements in Pennsylvania. His body was buried on December the 24th. Only God could have knit together the many intricate details which made it possible for Walt's new position here in Quincy, the change of situation for me so that she was home, and everything which worked together for my mother. Hope to see you soon again, very soon. And then she adds the 34th Psalm. Let's turn to that for a minute. 34a. And see again how it is that David's greatest contribution, his greatest witness, his greatest service, becomes blessing to us yet today. Psalm 34a. Think about it now in terms of the comfort that this has brought to Nancy Zabrin at this particular instant in her life. At all
times I will bless the Lord and praise my mouth and Lord. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. In all my fears I sought the Lord, from him deliverance came. They looked to him and radiant were, ashamed they shall not be. This poor man cried, Jehovah heard, from trouble set him free. The angels of the Lord encamps them round and compass them. All those about that do him fear, and them deliver him. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good, who trust in him are blessed. Fear God, his saints, none that him fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good.
After all his services to Israel and all the Jews, his service to Jesus, in identifying with Jesus, identifying the life of Christ, as Jesus learned to discover that in their singing of these same chapters, service to the early Christians, to the Apostle Paul, service to Luther, and others like that. There's still one service more important than any of these, through the Psalms, more important to you and to me, more important to us as we sit here this morning. And it comes out of God's promise there in Zechariah 12:8. The day will come when the feeblest among them will be like David, a man after God's own heart. Do you ever think of yourself as being feeble compared to David or Paul or Luther? Ever think of yourself as being feeble in your faith? In your repentance, in your obedience, in your communion with God and your love for God, ever think of yourself as being feeble? Then find God's answer right here to that feebleness. When you know that you are weak in these things, then be strong in the Psalms. Let them live in you richly. Colossians 3:16. This was Paul's prescription. This is Paul's prescription for feebleness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. And again in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. That's the way God builds people who are feeble. To be men after his own heart, women after his own heart. That's God's promise. It's right there in Zechariah. Be a person like David, a man after my own heart. Sing a psalm every morning. Sing a psalm every night. A heart-strengthening psalm. That was the psalm that spoke to Walt Zabern when he had that weakness of his heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, Walt. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. And there are times when we need a heart-strengthening psalm, or a heart-cleansing psalm, or a heart-quieting psalm. Pick that up. Learn to sing them. If you have to, sing them alone. If you sing like I sing, so nobody else can hear you. But sing them. There's something you don't get out of them unless you sing them. They were made to be sung. You can read them. I've exegeted them. I have a literal translation of every chapter of the Book of Psalms. I work through them out of the Hebrew. But there's something I can't get that way that I always do get when I sing them. And they were made to be sung. Let the people who are in prison hear you singing them. Let the people who are uptight hear you singing them. Let the people who are confused hear you sing them. Let the angels hear you sing them. Let God hear you sing them. And when he does, then his ear is going to be tuned to that. And you know what he's going to say? I found another man, another woman, after my own heart. He'll do everything I tell him to do. She'll do everything I tell her to do.
Thank you, Lord, for taking a man like David, with all of his weaknesses, but building him into a man after your own heart. Thank you for the service that you've rendered through the years to the Jews as a nation, to Jesus himself, the Apostle Paul, those other early Christians, the two on the way to Emmaus, to Martin Luther, to so many others down through the years, to Nancy Zabern. God bless her. Be her an encouragement of heart now. Bless her as she continues to love her mother alone down there now in Florida. God, just be her encouragement of heart as she looks again and again into this psalm and finds you meeting her needs there. God bless every one of us as we learn to get the comfort and the encouragement from this book, singing these words, finding you, singing your message back into our hearts, teaching us about yourself, heart to heart, as we would become as David was and as you promised we could, even though we are weaker, feebler people after your own heart. We desire that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now in closing, let's sing together from Psalm 98a. Psalm 98a, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. What's that last stanza? The fourth stanza and the last phrase in that last stanza. Let's rise to sing. We'll remain standing after the singing of this for the benediction, and then right after the benediction, we'll be singing the stanza that's at the bottom of the bulletin page. God, the love of Jesus Christ, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.